chart. Because I should have had all of those blank, except for saying it was two offerings, one for a ram. Because none of the, almost none of the other is seen, huh? But it's not seen until you look in and study and apprehend the sin offering. Then it's like you see it in reverse. But let me talk for a minute about offerings in general. We talked about the brazen altar and the sprinkling of the blood, and the reason it's done is for access. But there's a rule of law, not just in this law, but in all cultures. And if you think about it, it sounds obvious, but if you don't think about it, you'll miss a mystery. And that is that you cannot offer a sacrifice unless you own the thing sacrificed. You cannot offer a sacrifice or an offering unless you own the thing that's being offered.
Yeah, let me give you something that belongs to somebody else.
Well, but that's what most people try to do.
Yeah.
Now, how can that be? How can we then begin to understand these mystical offerings when they're about Christ? Well, you can't begin to understand them until you begin to know that you possess it. You understand? Until you begin to know that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Until you begin to know that He is living His life in you as a vessel. That He, in fact, is you. That you can begin to understand these offerings. And they can begin to be apprehended. This is probably why no one... that for thousands of years they haven't been studied. Because the idea that we could say that, you know, other than just studying them from an academic standpoint, you understand, like saying this is what happened in history, but to feel it and to know that we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, but in the presenting of ourselves we are emptying ourselves even of the very promise of the life of Christ within us. And through that emptying, always emptying, giving the thing which, remember, it's the seventh consecration of Abraham, giving the promise itself up every second. Then we can begin to understand the offerings and we can apprehend them. So in time, it's time that we did that. Now, do you understand the importance why it's, you cannot offer something that you don't possess, that you don't own. But yet, there's a whole world of people trying to do that. Now, let's think about trespass offering in terms of universality.
Is that all, do you see that in Jesse and David? Like going to get the youngest of the flock? There's something in there about when the prophet went to seek out the kid or something.
I don't know that. What is a trespass? And then what is an offering for a trespass? How do you perceive a trespass? How does it make sense to you to understand a trespass? If you were in stealth last night, you already know the answer. But you normally perceive a trespass as lack.
Or a mistake.
Or you've done, but it's mostly lack if you think about it. Because if you had more, then you would have made the mistake.
Oh, yeah.
You perceive the trespass as that I want something or I lack something that I desire. So it must be something wrong with me, because if I were right, I would have it.
Yeah.
Do you understand that concept? Okay. Everyone will think about this, but we'll see it this, but each person sees it to the degree that they are, the rest of their offices. What makes you feel guilty?
Yeah.
What causes you to feel like a victim? Okay, that's a good one. At the core, then, there's something you believe that you're sick because you have done something wrong. And if you had done something right and could correct it, then you wouldn't be sick. So you perceive the lack of health as a trespass. Do you understand that?
Yeah, for me, it's lack of success.
Okay.
It's feeling like squandered resources.
Okay.
I'm very guilty.
So you... Help me. Everybody needs to understand this. What is it that causes you to feel like a victim or feel guilty?
I'm having a hard time understanding how being a victim is related. Is it that?
Because you don't perceive the words. The words trespass don't mean anything to the modern society because we don't know the law. So we have to come.
That's a big part of this problem.
Huh?
That's a big part of this problem, I would imagine.
Yeah.
As far as making this gel.
Okay, how can I help? I have to touch each one of you right now or we can't go any farther. Do you understand that?
Well, now about the only time I feel bad or feel guilty or feel like I've done something wrong is when I feel like I've done something that comes into my mind that I feel guilty, I feel bad about it, and I have to say to her, I did this thing, and I feel bad. And the answer to that, the lack is that if I were true, good, virtuous, upright, had any strength of will at all, I wouldn't do that. I would take control of the situation. It would come up.
Okay. And the interesting part of that, for the most part, doesn't know what you're talking about most
no,
of the time.
No, she never hammers me about it. It's always
because
in my
it's
head.
Not an issue.
It's always in my mind. That's true.
So the other thing then we can learn about trespass in this context is that it's subjective.
It is subjective.
It is subjective.
Yeah, because
so
what you
consider
trespass, somebody else might not.
A lot of people have apologized to me for things that I've gone like, so what?
Okay, Scripture says, the New Testament says, whatsoever thing that you think to be sin or trespass, it is a trespass unto you.
Yeah, that was really apparent when we went through the weekend about shame. There's over and over people would say things that they were ashamed of, and all the rest of us would go, so what?
Yeah. Yeah.
But big deal. And for the person who was saying it, it was just like it was cataclysmic.
Yeah. Well, let's go. Does everybody? Are you getting a better handle on it? On trespass meaning lack.
Where's that scripture you just mentioned?
I don't remember. We can look it up later. Let's look at something else. Let's look at another trespass. And you feel a lack, and therefore you feel if you had done it better, then everything would be better. And therefore, I see a lack, or you're saying to yourself, I see a trespass that somehow I must atone for, or must be atoned for, or must be taken care of. There has to be some offering made in order that I can exist. Normally, the offering that's made is you forget about it. You put it to another corner of your mind. Everyone conceives of trespass, and everyone conceives of some method of atoning for it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they couldn't live. Now, the biggest atonement, the biggest self-atonement that people do is suicide.
Yeah.
What else do you want to feel responsible for? That's right. Your sorrow is an offering. Your sorrow is what your mind has invented so that you can survive your own perception of the trespass.
It's like, I mean, over the Stormy Jones thing, I could not even read it in the newspaper without just breaking down totally. And if it would come on the television set, I just would lose it.
Yeah.
Totally. So
okay, the question, the point of that is, there is a trespass now that we've conceived. What is the trespass? That's what has to be seen. The trespass in your mind is that you did not do something right, that there is something fundamentally wrong, and there has to be an atonement for it. So your atonement for it is sorrow for another thing. Therefore, I mean, what I almost did, because I thought that what they did with the Stormy Jones thing was just crass commercialism. It made me sick. And so I almost kidded you about the Stormy Jones thing until you said that. The moment you said that, I knew that you had connected it to your own, you know, when you told me about how sad it made you feel. But I was about to tell you how sick I was of it. Right. And I was about to tell you that same day I was sick of seeing this stupid little kid, this little sperm cell that had no meaning to anybody, but yet everybody had internalized it as a method of atonement.
Yeah.
It's just a little sperm cell.
Yeah.
It's a little flesh, a hunk of flesh that they experimented on.
People do that with every media figure like that who is like a victim, and everybody's like, it's so touched by him. What is that? What
it's this. It's the trespass offering. It's the they don't have a trespass offering, so they invent their own in their mind so they can live.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's a way of atoning.
You atoned for your what you perceived as your trespasses by your feeling sorrow for Stormy Jones and a million thousand other things. Now God says, that was fine for yesterday. Today, from now on, I have a new thing for you. Now, how is this manifested? Look at it. It's manifested in a million ways as that we internalize our own trespasses. We internalize our concept of a trespass, and then we have to invent our own method of atonement. You hear me? This is true in every culture, in every society, in every place, in every time. It's the nature of the fallen beast. There has to be some apprehension or there has to be some manipulation of trespass and atonement in order for there to be an individual that lives. And what they have to do, there has to be a manipulation of trespass and atonement in order that there can be society or civilization. Now God says he's got a new way, a better way. Tell me some more. I want to hear how you atone for your own concept of your own trespasses. Now remember, all of this is bullshit because first of all, it's your own definition of stuff, which is meaningless because it doesn't stand the test of eternity. And second, it's bullshit because it's your own silver, it's your own redemptive activity, which is meaningless because it neither does it stand the test of eternity.
Okay, now that just totally confused me. This is what I was trying to explain to you the other night, why I get so confused.
Okay.
You just said that a trespass is subjective, it's different than everything.
It's subjective now because that's our perception of it. But in truth, it's the law, it isn't subjective.
Okay, so I can't.
Well, it's like your understanding of trespass, even at its highest level of not understanding it, is still wrong. And so the games that you're playing internally, trying to understand it, trying to apprehend it, trying to deal with it, it's that in itself. Christ can come along and say, by one offering I've perfected forever them that are sanctified. You don't have to sweat it. It's not an intellectual apprehension, but you have already conceived of an intellectual construct. Every one of you have intellectualized the trespass offering to your own world. God says, that's too complicated. I want to make it real simple for you. None of that counts. I just want you to see that Christ, by one offering, has perfected forever them that are sanctified, so you can now afford to abandon yourself. You never again have to take yourself seriously.
It's really obvious what a stumbling block this is to abandonment. I mean, it's like never was clear before why that was so hard. I mean, it always sounds desirable to abandon yourself, and yet I've very few times felt honestly like I stepped off the treadmill. You know, just these weird glimpses of freedom, but nothing I could sustain.
Well, right now.
Now it's obvious why.
Yeah, because right now, like you are back in the in self, or you've gone somewhere because you don't understand.
No, I'm just trying to tell you, tell you when it happens.
Okay.
Since I said that the other night, but no, I mean, I don't get weirded out because I don't understand, but since I said what I did, I want to try explaining.
Okay. But you understand that first of all, from this, what we're talking about right now, for a minute, let's pretend that this doesn't exist, okay? That the law and the way, the legal way of dealing with these things doesn't exist. Because we don't know it yet. I mean, so if we think it's over here somewhere and then it's just religious, let's put this down for a minute. And let's talk about something that's universal to each one of you. And that's how you deal with your own perceptions of lack. Whether it's lack spiritually, whether it's lack financially, whether it's lack emotionally, whether it's lack in any arena. Okay? Now, you perceive, you've got your obvious trespasses. You know what they are. You know when you screwed up, right? You don't have to worry about those. And then you all have little tricks of manipulation of mind and personality to deal with the screw-ups when you know you've screwed up. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And we can detail those if you want to, in each one of you. Because, I mean, we could go down the road. This is how Harry does it. This is how Barbara does it. This is how, when you know you messed up, you know you made a trespass, and you do something to correct it. Okay? I'm not talking about that kind of trespass. I'm talking about the kind of trespass that you perceive as something lacking.
Yeah, is it like an organismic trespass?
Right, it's systemic.
Yeah.
Okay, you perceive it's something lacking, and you perceive it's a trespass because you believe it needs atoning for.
Yeah, I think, so you're thinking, the thing I always am loath to talk about even, is just, in my mind, is slovenliness or sloppiness or being a mess or, you know, whether it's a parent or the house, it's all just one big thing, and it's almost like an overriding reality for me that it's constantly before my eyes, you know, and anytime anything comes up to, you know, remind me, you know, it's just like, you're right, you know, more, and I don't know how I atone for it other than a myriad of things.
Okay, well,
that's the big lack. I would say that's
okay, but the question is, what is your sacrifice? What is your offering that atones for that overriding other, but it's not just one, it's many, but you're right, that what is your offering that atones for that overriding trespass?
I don't know, I think there's many.
No, there's one. You have adopted a persona that justifies it. The Earth Mother.
See, Liz.
The avant-garde, the Earth Mother, the saying, the acting as though those bourgeois things don't bother me.
Yeah.
There's a whole persona of you.
It's not stated.
What?
I did that deliberately to piss him off. It wasn't just a...
Fine.
Something that she remembers.
Well, I don't know about her.
Yeah.
Oh. But anyway, but that's a good example. And you have an overriding persona that atones for it, because the atonement is that you don't care about those bourgeois things that her mother cares about.
But see, I really do.
Oh, I know. We know.
We do know. Sorry.
Busted.
Oh, you probably care more than I really.
Yeah, as a practical matter, you do. I mean, I know you both well enough. You care, but it's the same thing.
Why?
It's attention just in different directions. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the biggest areas that people, where people atone, where they're, and you're the only one here, yeah, is with their children. They believe they've made a trespass with their children. And the trespass of the children, what that trespass, how the offering is made, is protection, overprotection, smothering. That becomes the offering to atone for the trespass. What?
She's being
smothered.
She's only turned around like 6 or 7 times.
No, I just turned around and looked at
you. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm smothered. Cool.
Well, I mean, everybody, you do all. I mean, every one of you have this, have these things that are your atonements for your trespasses, for your lacks.
I lack responsibility, dependability, fidelity, all those things. Absolutely. That's why, for instance, I have to spend 7 or 8 or 9 years mooning over a lost ex-wife. I have to prove that
You prove the case by what you worship. In other words, you prove the trespass by what you are sacrificing to on a day-to-day basis. Okay, you sacrifice to everything you just said, neatness, order.
Yeah, and what I do is I look for people who are more lacking than I am.
Yeah, but what
and
you
I attack them,
I know.
And I spend my day trying to be the things that I
okay,
like.
But hear me. What you're doing is you're offering a sacrifice that isn't yours. You don't possess what you're trying to offer, therefore it's not accepted by anybody.
And it drives me crazy and exhausts me.
Well, but that's the king. That's the key.
I just got lost.
You know, I finally just got it. It's failures.
That's right.
And you said before, it's all your failures that you think are...
But look, what are, let's, we haven't picked up. What are its trespasses?
He was trying
to be if you can't think of any, that's fine. Don't think too hard. If they're not immediately evident, just don't think of it.
And what is trespasses and what is his atonement? I mean, they're, can you count the sand of the sea? Can you count the stars of the sky? But... But the thing that I want you each to understand tonight is, and if it only touches you once, if it only touches you for a moment in the discussion, to understand that how you atone for your own trespasses that you perceive as lack. Failure is the biggest perception of lack. You understand that? I mean, there can be no bigger one. It's the whole that.
So if you fail, you see that as lack.
Yeah, and you atone for it by what? Many, many ways. One of the ways that you atone for it is you say, "Well, I really wasn't interested in that."
Or huge self-effort.
Yeah, like
this is really hit me heavy. I don't know how. Sitting here and I'm thinking, but I have to be. I mean, I should be. I must be dependent and neat and loyal and those.
Trustworthy.
Well, sort of like that, but it doesn't seem funny to me right now.
Well,
you know, I don't think that I can admit that I'm not those things.
Well, how about not even giving it one thought one way or another? That's the goal of this. The goal is not to say, well, I am this and I'm going to correct it. The goal is to abandon yourself.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, the only way I was just sitting here thinking the same thing only about my stuff was just that here's this huge thing that, and you just sit there and you are not fulfilling it. But if I can think that he's fulfilled it and I don't have to worry about it anymore, even if it's a stupid thing, you know,
yeah.
Christ is dependable.
Yeah.
Christ is responsible for the things in heaven. You don't have to be there.
I know that's true. On the one hand, I know that's true. But on the other hand, I will. I mean, there'll be stuff going on inside of me from now until tomorrow morning to try to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be with you and ready to do what I'm supposed to do. And don't fuck up.
We'll see now there. No. Well, let's look at this one.
No, I'm quite low.
He's trying to take the lowest.
His I know, we'll get back to it.
We'll get back to you.
Would you hit her, please? Real hard.
Don't call us, we'll call
I can take it. And train by going up to smaller mountains first.
Perception of trespass is really weird.
As usual. Hurdle.
Because fundamentally, Dale doesn't believe he can trespass. So therefore, he doesn't really think there is a trespass offering. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he doesn't believe there's a trespass. So how does he deal with it? What the study of the trespass offering is almost meaningless. Won't get scrambled until we get to the sin offering. Because scramble is a perception of existence.
Yeah.
And so he's so preoccupied with whether or not he exists or not that there's no possibility of trespass. I mean, that's...
No, I'll agree with that. I can say that. Yeah. I don't really deal in those areas. I believe that I am wrong or I'm not wrong. But I don't really care if I push somebody off the road trying to make, you know, a left-hand turn. I could give a damn.
Yeah. But again, that's why you can't be complete without... And it can't be just a one. It can't be just a wife. You must have a minion in order to exist.
Believe me, I know that one.
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
Because if I didn't have a place to locate myself...
He's got to be reflected off of many points instead of just one.
I become basically insane.
Yeah, you'd never leave your house.
No, I wouldn't.
But that seems like it's doing just the opposite. I mean, if he doesn't like to leave the house, and he doesn't like those...
It's because...
The foundation somewhere.
Well, it's because... He's afraid someone will challenge... Something will challenge whether he really is or not. So as long as you can create your world and your house, and you can have the familiar to remind you of existence... Then you can have a modicum of your own atonement. You can create your own atonement. But again, in doing that, you're offering something that isn't yours. That's the lesson that I want you to try to see tonight. When you do anything other than accept and see what he's already completed, you're offering something that isn't yours to offer. Therefore, it can never work. What are trespasses? The better question is, what aren't his trespasses? He cannot conceive of the sin offering because every part of it is consumed in the trespass offering. There is no possibility that he can do anything right. So everything is a trespass. No matter what happens, no matter what he sees, no matter what he succeeds at, the next day, everything is all of a sudden a trespass again. The act of breathing becomes a trespass. Becomes something that needs atoning. It's like, I mean, if you want to see the two opposites in that arena, I mean, it's
a boxing match. You see who wins, so we'll know which side to be on.
Which
offering
really matters.
Okay. I think you know which side to be on.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
There's nothing that isn't a trespass to you.
Everything has to be analyzed. And
you never get anything right.
Right. Although it may appear so to others, it never appears that way.
Right. Yeah. And so, what then is your atonement?
Getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Offering everybody else.
Mm-mm. The atonement is several things. Fundamentally, it's a workaholic. It's, if I work harder, I'll get it right. Also, it is, I deserve to feel bad, so therefore it's some kind of depression. And it's probably something to do with the physical, too. I mean, the, no matter how you, what you do, you are always cold. But, I don't know, I don't want you to get, I don't want you to take that one and run with it. But you, I mean, I want to see that, you see in those two extremes, can you see any part of yourself?
Sure.
So, we have to see that, first of all, in order for the offerings to make any sense, we have to see that first there was a trespass. We've made a trespass. Second, there was an act of atonement or something to atoning, but it's the wrong atonement. In other words, there's nothing in and of us that we can do to atone for what we perceive as lack or trespass or mistakes. There's nothing that you can do to cause, like in our, let's look at us. There's nothing that you can do to cause what you want to happen in us.
Yeah, and I believe that. I mean, I really do believe that.
But that's, don't you see, the miracle is you believe that and we're still us.
Well.
but listen, that means, no, that's where, I mean, I don't want to use this as an, but that's where God wants us on every area and every arena of our life. There is nothing, there is no possible atonement for us. That's where he wants us on every arena, on every place in life. There is no thing that you can do to not do or do to correct your propensity to worry or not worry. There's nothing you can do to cause you to stop mourning for things and create your own illnesses. There's no thing that you can do to continue so that you won't become the workaholic and depressed and weird and second-guessing everything. There's no thing. Again, I mean, you believe your life is a trespass.
Yeah.
I mean, so the offering is always confusion. Because there's, I mean, I don't want to pick on everybody. I guess I am anyway, but... Huh?
So you can
figure out. Well, you know, it's in many ways it's similar because you
so if your life is a failure, then your atonement would be, is it the same as getting it right again?
Well, no, your atonement can be anything. You can, it can, it doesn't have to always be the same thing. Your atonement can be drugs. Your atonement can be alcohol. Your atonement can be anything. Credit card abuse. Your atonement can be, but normally there's some overriding thing that you try to do. You know, yours is, you always have to have the right offering to offer the people. You always have to have a thing or a smile or a story. You always have to have the smile, the story, to tell this. I mean, and you know the offering doesn't work, but you continue it. I mean, you know, understand, each one of us have the trespass, and then we've made an offering. Now, the mystery that we're studying here is that we don't have to sweat it ever again, and therefore we can afford to abandon ourselves.
Then if somebody asks me what's wrong, then it's like, I didn't make an offering, you know.
Yeah.
They walked up to me and I didn't make an offering, so the first thing they do is ask me what's wrong. And then I get confused as far as that goes.
Well, but you don't have to get confused about it. You just respond, you either say nothing or, you know, if somebody asks me that, if I don't smile at them, somebody can, what's wrong with me, I just laugh at them. I mean,
get out of my face,
bird.
You know what's wrong? You're ugly.
I mean, you know, I can't even conceive of not be. I mean, it's just, that doesn't make me right.
They use their perspective to tell me who I am.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's not who you are, and it's...
That would drive me crazy.
And yeah, and you'll go crazy.
Yeah, I really, I get, yeah, I beat myself up.
an example of this last night, talking about the school and how the kids, you know, a lot of them are just crazy, you know, disobedient and just acting crazy. And, like, I started feeling terribly bad about it. And, you know, on one level, I don't have any kids over there, I don't teach. There's no reason I should give a shit about how they act. It's like, oh, God, the kids are fucked up. Oh, I'm so depressed. You're fucked up so bad. I didn't expect that until now. I thought, why are you getting so bummed out that these knucklehead kids are fucked up? They're not my responsibility.
That's pretty neat in a way, though.
Well, God is, what's the neat thing is, God is going to take all these things that Satan has meant for evil, and he's going to transform them into the instruments that knit us together in love. That's the mystery. But it happens the moment we apprehend what the finished work is. It's that we see, and as we see, we shall be like him. Now, but again, there's something that has to take place. This isn't for everyone. You can't come to this point. You can't even want this information until you know your own devices have failed you.
Oh, man. No problem.
So therefore, the idea of now we're going to take that blood and sprinkle it at the base of the altar, we're asking for the judgment of God in these arenas. That's incredibly awesome. To ask for the judgment of God. To me, this is another example of why everything that we're studying, of everything that we are studying, nothing is optional. Again, prayer is the work of all men at all times. They call it thought. Every man on the face of the earth has ever and always tithed. Everyone has always tried to make some kind of a trespass offering to atone for their own trespasses. It's not optional. They just are doing it to the wrong God with the wrong offering at the wrong place at the wrong time. And all that we are about is crystallizing what the God of the universe says is the right way, the confession of it. What he says is, there is no right way. My son has completed it. You rest. That's the message of the gospel. There's no justification to ever feel sad again because of Stormy Jones. It's a lie of the devil. There's no justification to ever feel like you've made a mistake, or ever can make another mistake. It's a lie. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means that he's the offerer. He stood and he offered as us. We are in him as he's standing as the offerer. He is the offering, and he is the priest that accepts it. It's completed, it's done, it's finished. And as we go through each individual part of this, we'll see that it's finished at deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper levels. The takeaway tonight is that it's time and it's futile. It's time for you to stop making your own atonement and your own offerings based on imagined trespasses that you've invented the definition of. You know, as I searched the scriptures, all through all of those scriptures, first of all, I never saw anything in there that says it was a trespass not to be neat.
It's all down there.
Never, ever, it's not there. And I never once.
It's a lie.
There's no place that it says it. If you saw the temple in the midst of, while the offerings were being made, you would think it was the messiest, ugliest, smelliest place there was. 250,000 bloody sheep were sacrificed, cut up on the day that Christ, on the Passover day of Christ. 250,000 sheep. Every day, bulls and sheep and goats were cut apart, opened up, entrails examined, smell.
What did they do with all that blood? Did they haul it out in buckets or did
no.
they build
in
a
the temple? They had the most elaborate sewer system known to man.
It reminds me, when I was a little kid, I mean, this is probably pointless, but when I was a little kid, my grandmother lives out in the country and there's nothing to do there. And, you know, except walk through the woods and stuff like that.
As a city girl, if I ever heard one.
Okay, let me finish my story. Anyway, there's a slaughterhouse across the street. And we used to walk across the street and watch them kill the pigs and the cows and take out all their guts and do all. I mean, that was like our entertainment. We would go over and watch them kill the animals. You know? Well, no, I didn't think it was. I mean, but it, you know.
Yeah,
it
I know. I know what you mean.
It didn't gross you out or anything, but it was almost interesting because I remember, you know, they would put all the stomach and all that stuff in buckets, and we used to, you know, poke at them and watch them move, and you know, I mean, it was weird stuff. But when you said that, that's what I thought about because it was like the same thing. They would hang an animal up, and it would bleed into a sewage system at the slaughterhouse. And they sell it for blood for fertilizer.
Yeah,
and they—I mean—they had like a house out back that they would put the pelts to dry and stuff like that.
Pig pelts
for purses.
Pig skin.
You're probably carrying
pig hide. I think hide is the word for
pig skin.
Pig pelts.
Now,
yeah, footballs.
What will happen as we begin this process? First of all, you will see that the things that you thought were trespasses were silly. Can you remember the first thing that the first time you thought you made a mistake?
Yes.
That was wrong.
I can tell you it. I tore a page in the third grade in my geography book, halfway up, accidentally, and I stayed up all night, literally sick to death over the terrible evil that I had done. Of course, just like me now, today, I didn't tell anyone, I didn't go and apologize, I didn't do anything, I hid it. And then I prayed to God for like 3 months until we handed our books in that no one would notice, and they did in fact notice.
See, so then I was the magic worked.
The magic worked.
It was like one of the few trespasses.
I remember, I was
knowledge.
Literally, I felt sick.
Well, yeah. Some of us are like,
you damaged
I damaged the book. It's very, very bad.
I cut my hair off the day before I was supposed to be in a wedding. I played barbershop with the girl across the street and like just mutilated my hair. And I hid it for like 3 hours because I knew I was going to get killed.
Okay, but how did you atone for it?
I did the same thing on Easter right before we had pictures of me, but I mean, I don't even remember it. I just know because I've seen the pictures of me.
To the beast, all of the acts of atonement are acts of magic.
Whoa. Yeah, I remember
the very first one I made was reading in school.
It was what?
Reading.
And you made a mistake.
The first mistake.
When you wrote out loud, read out loud.
The teacher was trying to help me read, and I had this, I don't know where I got it, but when I would say the word, and she said, no, that's wrong, I would shake my head. And she grabbed my head and made me stop and said, you can't read like that, read right. And it just mortified me, it was in front of class.
Yeah. And so your atonement has been, I just don't read.
I don't want to read. I don't do that.
That's something I don't do.
I won't do.
I don't like that. But you're starting to.
Yeah, she's starting to read now. But see that, to that, again, we're back to this thing about, remember, the all high place activity is magic and sorcery. That's and all you as a child, that's what you're fascinated by. All children are there. Things that seem mysterious and magical and sorcery. And what you do is you develop systems of atonement based on your magic. And they control you.
My magic never worked, though, because my
baby. Yeah, but the magic worked.
Yeah, he doesn't mean the end result is like you think it is.
No.
Sometimes
the magic worked.
Oh, yeah, I was always doing.
No, 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 but no, no, I'm even talking at a deeper level.
Yeah.
The magic worked to cause you to desire today the things that you're ashamed of.
This is creating an earthquake or tidal wave or something inside of me. I feel like I'm on the edge of a freak out or something. I don't know what it is.
I'm not listening to you.
I mean, I can't. I think it's crazy. Because I can't imagine not offering what I offer or something.
Well, the freak out comes because, and everybody has to experience it. The freak out comes because you know that your inappropriate offering has been exposed, or it's being exposed, and now what am I going to do?
I think what I'm hearing is now what am I going to do, because I can't imagine not doing that. I can't imagine not spending my day consumed by that, and my nights consumed by that. It's like, what am I going to do if I don't smoke? That's what panics me about, not smoking. Every morning I feel a panic. What am I going to do now? I can't smoke today.
Well,
scary.
The only way that we can overcome that feeling of is to know, to return to the anchor, that thus far in your walk with God, every time you felt anxious, it was a precursor of some revelation, some greater understanding. And the promise that He will complete that which He has begun in you. I can't complete it. I can't come up and say the right words, and I can only show you that your offerings are no longer acceptable.
I know what the fear is. The fear is the same thing from years ago. It's the bit about if I don't do it, then nothing will happen. You know, the form of godliness would deny
the denying the power.
Right. Right. What it is that my fear is that if I don't do this, then there will be nothing.
Yeah. Instead of, again, in if I don't do something, then there will... that's another story. Go to Hebrews. Does everybody have a Bible? Don't. If you don't have a Bible, don't get one. Just listen. Just listen.
Harry Ayer.
Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 12, but this man, he's talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, and from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, everything that we know about faith, and everything I know from experience about the revelation of God, comes from that feeling of expectancy in me. I go from panic to expectancy. You know what I mean? You go for a period like, you know, every once in a while something happens around here and I'm convinced that this whole thing is going to just disappear and blow away. And there's a feeling of panic. And every time, if I know, it's replaced almost instantly by a feeling of expectancy.
Like Abraham.
Yeah. So you expect. It's a feeling of expectancy. If you're going through whatever the panic is, if you're feeling something, know that on the bottom side, or the flip side of panic, is expectancy. You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool in you. You understand? Okay. For by one offering hath he perfected forever, hath, past tense, them that are sanctified. The only question is, have you presented yourself saying, Father, I'm yours? If all you have to do is say, Father, I'm yours without condition. That's the act of sanctification. whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he has said before. I talked to Ben today about all this stuff. And he said, boy, that sure touches something in me.
He offered up his spirit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the stuff I've been doing, that's the block to the manifestations.
Activity is always an enemy.
My mind got caught when I said that there'll be vacuum, because when I use the word vacuum, I remembered you saying that if you just sit here, it creates a vacuum, and the spirit has to rush in.
Blessed are the poor or empty in spirit. But anyway, now we go on in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is one? The high priest in the flesh was the one who, there was only one high priest that could be at one time. He was the one that had, his main job was to enter the Holy of Holies on the day of Yom Kippur to make the sacrifice. Now Christ is both our Redeemer, our high priest, but the promise of all this is, remember, this started all out by saying that you couldn't offer a sacrifice or an offering unless you owned it. That was the sort of the part of the picture of the puzzle that we were studying tonight. What you've been offering all this time has been someone else's. You don't own what you've been offering. You've been offering what is owned by the God of this world. You understand that? There is no part of you that can be perceived by the senses, and there's no part of your experience that isn't sensual.
Okay.
And that, and it isn't spirit. Spirit is only in abandonment. So when you offer your smile, you're offering something that doesn't belong to you, because it belongs to the God of this world. When you offer, what you offer instead is you empty yourself of whatever's there at the moment. That's the offering, because then it's him being manifested. So it's not a pre-planned offering, it's abandonment. Where's your biggest area where you see yourself making a mistake? No, that's, see, the to be good at everything is your offering. What is your mistake? Well, I mean, I think you know it well enough from all the stuff we know about you, but that you think of your mistake as being a woman. So the vessel can't be you can't be the picture of the bride. Picture of the bride can't be, because you think to be the bride or to be the woman or the female is a mistake. The best way to see it is to see what you hate. What you hate is submissiveness and weakness. And that, according to this book, is what your picture should be in relationship to.
I feel like I'm pretty submissive.
No, you're just quiet. It's totally different. But think of it in the relationship. The only way that I know to cause you to see it is the reason that Satan fell is because he couldn't worship the mewing, crying baby that was dumping in its pants. The reason that you don't yet see this emotionally is that you cannot imagine being a servant to the weakest among us. Think of the weakest, whether it's Elaine or... And then think of yourself that, from God's standpoint, the way to see is to be her servant. It'll explode a bunch of neurons because it's the opposite of what your mind wants. Because you know that, well, you also know that the path that you've been on towards strength has only left you with aloneness, loneliness, and isolation. And the more strength or successes that you have in being independent, only amplify that aloneness and loneliness and isolation. Okay. So your trespass is weakness. Your trespass, in truth, is the bride. Read Ephesians 5 when you get home tonight. Okay. But by the same token, know that he has made an offering for that trespass, so you don't have to sweat it. Take it, big guy.